Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome back, everyone, to Answers for Elders Radio Network. And we are here with Stephen Waltar, attorney at law, estate planning, of legacy estate planning. And we are talking about financial wellness. And Steve, this has been a very informative hour. I think one of the things we talked about in our last segment is how to communicate with your loved ones. But I want to go a little bit deeper dive about this. And obviously, in preparing documents that we talked about at the top of the hour, who should be your financial power of attorney? Who should be your healthcare power of attorney? Who should be your executor? All of these individuals. Obviously, there has to be, you know, what are the criteria you should look for in finding that perfect individual to represent you?
You know, I think the easiest one is the healthcare power.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is not a popularity contest. It does not matter whose feelings you're hurting. This is your body. Who do you mm-hmm. trust mm-hmm. to make elective decisions that might lead to your death or not? I mean, I just think that one, you know, who do you trust? Mm-hmm. It's usually a spouse first. Not always, especially as people age. It might be that, you know, someone's not doing mentally well enough and you need to mm-hmm. listen to them. But the harder one, I think, is the financial. And you first have to look at your assets. And as an estate planner, I got to know what they are, right? Because when we're trying to choose someone, we want to figure out, well, do they have the experience and knowledge to manage your financial affairs properly, right? Do you have rentals? Do you have stocks and bonds? Do you have ETFs? What kind of assets do you have?
Mm-hmm.
When you're called upon to make a decision that may affect other family members, will your trustee, your personal rep, your power of attorney act in a fair and unbiased manner?
Right.
So, you know, sometimes that shouldn't be a child. Sometimes mm-hmm. it should be, you know, someone you worked with or a peer mm-hmm. or an uncle or, you know, something like that. Do they have an investment experience? Do they have enough time? Sometimes kids are just so busy in their jobs and with young kids, or they don't really have the time to do it. So it's not an easy decision. It's not an easy process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that difficult, but I mean, you don't want to just presume it's the oldest child.
Right.
No, look at the assets. Look at how the children get along.
Look, which is huge.
They really, you know, they at least need it. Sometimes I have people wanting to list their 18-year-old kid, and I'm like, no.
No.
They haven't lived on their own. They haven't paid a mortgage. They don't know things, you know. They could be great down the road, but not now.
Right. Yeah.
And they can hire the help, right? They can hire financial advisors, attorneys, accountants to kind of do the fine tuning. But as a whole, are they a good communicator? Do they understand? Do they communicate well? They're not going to lose things. They're mm-hmm. not going to wait and put their head in the sand and not tackle mm-hmm. things.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say, though, that in certain cases, if you're a senior and you need care and you need like a financial power of attorney because you don't have the mental capacity to do it. I know for me, it was very difficult. Initially, we had to actually switch financial to me because I was trying to deal with somebody outside of town. And that to try to coordinate with if certain payments need to be made, certain things need to happen within the senior community, doctor's documents that, you know, healthcare documents, admission documents, a lot of times that can be very cumbersome. So think about obviously.
There's no doubt for health, having someone in state or your city is a
absolutely.
Huge benefit.
Absolutely.
I will say on the opposite, that for finances, it's great if they're in state, but with trusts and with, you know, powers of attorney and emails and faxes and Zoom, mm-hmm. it's a little bit more easier to have an agent that's farther away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as everybody's on the same page, I know that, and I'm sure it's gotten better than when I was involved, you know, back in the late 2006, 2007, that was the time it was frustrating, right, for me. But I think about You know, in somebody obviously now, just should the healthcare power of attorney and the financial power of attorney work well together? Is that important? Or are they just so autonomous?
You don't want them, right? You don't want them as arch enemies fighting. They don't need to be the same person, but you do want them so they would communicate, because there is a bit of overlap, especially with healthcare and costs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or like senior living, where obviously there you go into a situation. So with the financial power of attorney, obviously, if you are designated as a financial power of attorney, what is your responsibility?
But you're a fiduciary. It's the highest, you know, duty under the law. You are managing someone else's money.
Right.
So you've got to be fair. You have to be disinterested. You've got to put the needs of the principal, the person, you know, above your own. And, you know, you need interest bearing accounts. You need to do things. You have to also think about the short term and the long term, you know, goals of the estate plan and the money and the person.
Right. Right. And as far as the healthcare power of attorney, there's different aspects of that, is there not?
Well, yeah, and you probably know an awful lot from a practical standpoint, right?
So, yes,
yeah, there's the actual, you know, sometimes it's just being with someone as a second pair of ears to listen. It's like a good child. I mean, it's someone right there making sure that they get all the information. And other times it's the one actually making the choices.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in the state of Washington, it's even your healthcare power person that gets to choose if you're going to be buried or cremated. So it has a little bit of an influence after you're gone.
Right. Right. You know, I remember when my mother was dying, she was on her deathbed, and I was her healthcare power of attorney and financial, but they came to me and they said, we could keep your mom alive by keeping her on oxygen for X number of days, or we could initiate comfort care and let her go peacefully. What's your choice?
Yeah.
And I had to make that decision as her healthcare power of attorney. I chose the comfort care. I chose to let her go with dignity. And I remember that was a deep decision that I had to make.
It's hard. And that's why we do what's called a directive to physician. So most of my clients say exactly what you're to do. I say, if this situation comes about, all I want is comfort and care. I don't want to be connected.
Yeah.
And it says no one should feel a sense of guilt for causing my death. So it's nice to have that document so that it kind of removes the burden from.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting because Steve, for probably years after I made that decision, there was this little voice in the back of my head. I hope I did the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think that you're right. To have a document that really spells it out makes all the difference in the world. And so, Steve, as we're closing, I want to thank you so much for being on the program talking about financial wellness. And you can reach Steve at www.waltar.com. That's waltar.com. Answers for Elders thanks you for watching The Vitality Revolution. Discover a blueprint to find a whole new gear in life, new awareness, and greater potential. Subscribe and be a part of our community. Answers for Elders is the North Star of navigating senior care, featuring content to help later life go a lot easier.